One of the great marketing tropes of Christmas is the play on nostalgia, the return to childhood. You've seen these commercials already. One of them has a little boy playing with a matchbox car. And then the next scene is he wakes up as a grown man on Christmas Day, and a grown-up version of that car is parked in his driveway. In another one, little girls are in a kitchen making tamales together. And then the scene shifts, and they become lifelong friends who keep the holiday together. The power of childhood is a major motivating factor of Christmas. We spend a little bit more for the children. We travel to far-flung family and friends for the children. We maybe even come to a Christmas Eve service for the children. But after the wonder and the magic of Christmas has worn off, once we're back to work, once we're back to school, once we're back to that great word, back to adulting, the power of childhood seems like a long-lost dream. Except that in this remarkable passage, there is a remarkable promise. John says that there is a power at work in the world that reverses the order of things. It turns the world upside down. It's unexpected and it's unnatural. Listen to John again. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Power to become children. Power to become powerless. There's a paradox for you. This certainly isn't a power that is respected by anyone in our world today. A politician can't use it. A general would laugh at it. And a hedge fund manager would be baffled by it. So what does John mean when he speaks of this power to become children? Well, John, of course, is speaking about the new birth, regeneration, or the way that we sometimes talk about it, being born again. The power to be made the children of God is not a resource that we tap into. It is a force that acts on us, turning orphans into sons and paupers into heirs. As John goes on to say, this power, or some translations put it, this right and this privilege, this power is a gift from God. It's not the result of natural circumstances or any choices that we make. It is a work of God for us, turning God's enemies into his friends. Later in his life, this same John will write to the early church, and he will return to this theme of rebirth. And he writes, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God." Friends, this means that on Christmas Day, when we celebrate Jesus' birthday, we should also celebrate our own birthdays. In Jesus Christ, we have been made the children of God. Now, this has to be God's work for us because there's nothing in us that can bring this new birth about. By nature, the Bible says, we are children of wrath, opposed to God. And it was while we were enemies that Christ died for us. But now anyone, no matter their natural lineage, can be called a child of God if they simply trust Jesus Christ. Now, why is that important? For this reason, Jesus is the Son of God, singular. He is the one who by nature deserves all of the love and care of his Father. But Jesus did not consider that prerogative worth grasping hold of. Instead, he took the form of a servant, humbling himself, becoming even like one of us, until he died on a cross to rescue us from our sin and misery. And it is only because this one Son of God became a man and died and rose again that you and me, men and women, boys and girls, we can all become sons of God, plural, co-heirs of the heavenly inheritance that rightfully belongs to Jesus. Now, friends, the beauty of this power, the power that turns strangers into sons, it was on display for the entire world to see just a couple of weeks ago in a news story you probably saw. A little boy, Michael Clark, 5 years old, invited his entire kindergarten class to a Michigan courtroom to witness and celebrate his adoption. And when Michael and his new parents made the adoption official by banging the gavel, the courtroom burst into applause. And as many news outlets reported, there wasn't a dry eye in the room. Friends, in the same way now, when the gavel of God's heavenly courtroom signals that the not guilty verdict has been pronounced over you, all of heaven rejoices. They rejoice that this holy child of Bethlehem is now surrounded by a countless number of sisters and brothers who have by grace become children of God. That's a power that doesn't fade away after the lights are put up, after the vacation is over, after work starts again. That's a power that will change you for eternity. Friends, though Jesus' manger stood under the shadow of his cross, your new life is lived in the light of the dawn of a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, the Bible says, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. New life in Mary's womb. New life for you and for me. And a new world still to come. So, happy Christmas. And merry birthday. They are one in the same, for every Christmas is a day of new life for all who trust in Christ for their salvation. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, may this Christmas season be a season of new life for those of us here in this room. Perhaps for the very first time, as you touch individuals here who do not yet know Christ, who have not yet bowed the knee to King Jesus. Or maybe it's just to reawaken in many of us the glory and the wonder that we are not only saved by Jesus, but he is our brother. Father, we lift up these petitions to you through that one who rules and reigns at your right hand, who makes intercession for us, our elder brother, Jesus Christ. Amen.